Press TV headlines: Middle East talks remain in deadlock as Abbas and Netanyahu meet again in Jerusalem Al-Quds.
Today, as in the past, what I'm able to share with you is limited.
Also ahead this hour, Iran says the IAEA's report on Iran's cooperation is incorrect and misleading. Violence continues in the Indian-controlled Kashmir as five more protesters are killed.
Hello, everyone. You've been listening to the top stories of 2200 hours GMT, 2:30 a.m., where Press TV is in Tehran.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Well, another meeting between Israel and the Palestinian Authority has ended with not much, if anything, achieved.
While today, as in the past, what I'm able to share with you is limited, I will say that the two leaders are not leaving the tough issues to the end of their discussions.
Mitchell refused to say what core issues were discussed during the talks between Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the acting Palestinian Authority Chief Mahmoud Abbas. He only expressed optimism that the negotiations are going in what he called the right direction. The U.S. envoy hinted at the upcoming expiration of a partial Israeli settlement freeze in the occupied West Bank by only saying progress was being made. This is while Netanyahu has made clear that the moratorium would not be extended beyond September the 26th. Palestinian negotiators have threatened to walk away from the talks if settlement activities continue.
Jerusalem Al-Quds was their second stop for direct talks after Egypt's Red Sea resort of Sharm el-Sheikh. The acting Palestinian Authority Chief Mahmoud Abbas met with Israeli Premier Benjamin Netanyahu and American Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. This is Abbas's first trip to Jerusalem Al-Quds since Netanyahu took office. Israeli sources say that so far the high-level, behind-closed-doors meetings have been successful. In a press conference that was held earlier with Israel's President Shimon Peres, Clinton said the talks were heading in the targeted direction and that both Israelis and Palestinian Authority officials are serious about the talks. Clinton was optimistic. However, the reality on the ground is different. Palestinians and Israelis moved from the so-called proximity into one-year direct talks quickly.
They are getting down to business, and they have begun to grapple with the core issues that can only be resolved through face-to-face negotiations.
Both sides have a lot of differences, especially about what comes first on the negotiating team's agenda. Israel wants legitimacy and security to be discussed first. However, Palestinians want to talk about the borders of the future Palestinian state. The status of Jerusalem Al-Quds is itself one of the most divisive issues. Israel's settlement activities are also of concern, and the Palestinians want the moratorium be extended. But Netanyahu has so far refused to renew the restrictions, which are due to expire later this month.
For us, the two most important issues are legitimacy and security. Security is obvious. Israel does not want to vacate the West Bank and to have rockets shot from the West Bank into Israel. We don't want a repeat of what we saw in Gaza.
What needs to be done is to get down to serious business. We're talking about the borders of the Palestinian state that entangles a number of issues, inclusive of Jerusalem, inclusive of the seas of settlement activities, and inclusive of the water issues.
In the West Bank, Palestinians took to the streets to express their disappointment and to urge the Palestinian Authority not to go to the negotiations if Israel continues its settlement activities. Another major problem facing negotiators is that only one part of the Palestinian territories is represented, as Hamas, which controls the Gaza Strip, and other resistance groups oppose the talks. Hamas described these talks as pointless.
These talks are meaningless because they don't address the real issues of the Palestinians. The PA should focus on Palestinian reconciliation effort and not on pointless negotiations.
The peace train driven by the United States is still moving in the area, these days between West Bank's Ramallah and Jerusalem Al-Quds. The distance between these two cities is not big, but the differences are. The U.S. administration has said that both sides are serious about the talks, but Palestinians say that as Israel refuses to show flexibility and not grant the Palestinians their essential rights, the prospects for a settlement to the conflict look slim. Shirin Yassin, Press TV, Al-Quds.
Well, for more on these Mideast talks, we're now joined by Cynthia McKinney, who is a former U.S. congresswoman who joins us on the line from Atlanta, Georgia. Ms. McKinney, as always, thank you for joining our broadcast. Now, ever since the New World Order was ushered in post-World War II, Israel and the U.S. have always seemed to be buying time for some unknown goal. In your mind, what may that goal be, and when will we all know if it succeeded or failed?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Of course, we all are interested in peace, but as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and many others have said, that we cannot get to peace if we don't have justice, and we can't get to justice if we don't have peace, if we don't have truth. So, first of all, we have to understand what the truth is and then move to a just solution, and that just solution will provide us peace. But unfortunately, while the United States and Israel and the defrocked Abbas talk, Palestinians continue to lose their land and die. Now, unless that scenario is changed such that Palestinian elections are recognized, Palestinian parliamentarians are released from prison, Israel joins the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty and submit to monitors, and then the United States ends its military transfers to Israel and enforces its own laws with respect to the targeting of civilians, all this is a bad political theater, kind of like a C-rated science fiction blood and gore film with B-rate actors.
Talking about bad political theater, Ms. McKinney, Hamas has been sidelined despite its willingness to engage. Now, Mossad's former director, Israel's National Security Council's former head, and even Jimmy Carter have said that any Israeli-Palestinian agreement has to include Hamas. Why then the blatant ignorance of this on the part of all the negotiating parties?
Well, of course, this is something that I have also submitted as a suggestion to the White House, that they negotiate with Hamas. As a legitimate representative of the Palestinian people. But this is not going to happen because this is not a process that is dictated by what is right, what is just, what is fair, what is equitable, and what the Palestinian people want. This is a process that is guided by what Israel wants.
Right, ma'am. Israeli media has essentially ignored the current peace talks, with Tuesday's negotiations not even making it to the front page of Hebrew newspapers. Can that be taken as a sign that the Israeli public knows that these talks are futile and that they will have their way in continuing the land grab of Palestinian territories?
Well, let's put it this way. Right now, the United States is in no way ready to enforce its own laws. The United States is not in any way ready to say no to the Israeli military machine. And until the United States, through its various organs, is ready to say no, let us deal seriously with the issues that will bring us peace, then I can see where this is just a ho-hum, yawning kind of situation for the Israeli public, because they already know the outcome.
All right, that was Cynthia McKinney, former U.S. Congresswoman, joining us there on the line from Atlanta, Georgia. Ms. McKinney, as always, thank you very much for your insight. In other news now, Iran's ambassador to the International Atomic Energy Agency has slammed the watchdog's recent report on Tehran's nuclear energy program.
Ali Asghar Soltania says the IAEA's latest report is unjustified and politicized. Mr. Soltania has stressed that Iran's entire nuclear activities are in line with the IAEA's safeguards and solely for peaceful purposes. The ambassador's statement comes after IAEA Director General Yochia Amano told the organization's 35-nation governing board that Iran's refusal to admit some experienced inspectors was hampering the agency's work. Iran says two inspectors it banned in June had provided false information about its activities. Tehran says it is within its rights to refuse inspectors under the Non-Proliferation Treaty. IAEA has a pool of more than 150 other experts it can use. This as a non-aligned movement has once again reaffirmed the peaceful nature of Iran's nuclear activities. Oh, violence is spreading in the Indian-controlled Kashmir. Five more protesters have been killed and a dozen others injured during the latest clashes with government troops.
Indeed, now the conflict since early June has left dozens of people dead. Police say security forces had to open fire to disperse protesters in the southern town of Mendar after protesters chanted slogans against India and the U.S. Pro-independence demonstrators protested a choking curfew across Kashmir, which has been in place for 4 days now. Meanwhile, Indian Prime Minister Manmohan Singh has urged protesters to avoid violence. Now, the Indian government has decided to send a fact-finding mission to the troubled area. However, no decision was taken on a controversial law on special powers for the army that Kashmiris are opposed to.
It's 2:41 a.m. where we are in Tehran. Here is a reminder of our top stories for this hour. Middle East talks remain in deadlock as Abbas and Netanyahu meet again in Jerusalem, Al-Quds.
Today, as in the past, what I'm able to share with you is limited.
Iran says the IAEA's report on Iran's cooperation is incorrect and misleading. And violence continues in the Indian-controlled Kashmir as five more protesters are killed.
And still to come here on Press TV's World News, we'll tell you how Britons are planning to greet the Pope with protests.
Welcome back. Street protests have been staged in France as lawmakers passed the government's pension reforms. Police clashed with protesters in Paris after lawmakers voted 329 to 233 to approve a bill to raise the minimum pension age to 62. Earlier, the opposition MPs managed to delay the vote by each taking turns to speak for 5 minutes. This failed after the House Speaker interrupted the process. 10 days ago, over a million people took to the streets to protest the reform. Major unions have called for another day of action on September the 23rd. President Nicolas Sarkozy says the reform is essential to rein in France's huge budget deficit.
The debate over the national retirement age has split France. About two-thirds of people want to keep it at 60. The rest broadly support government plans to push it to 62 by 2018.
Je travaille pour le gouvernement français.
I work for the government in the finance ministry. I'm 55. I need to work another 5 years. If the new law is passed, I'll have to work 2 years more. This is unfair.
I think if the money's not there, we just can't afford this. And people have got to accept the fact they must work a bit longer before they can enjoy a full retirement.
The government is deep in debt and worried about its credit rating. It expects to save around 70 billion euros, not only by raising the retirement age, but also social security contributions and the full qualifying pension age from 65 to 67. The unions say the reforms are unnecessary and that money can be found instead through higher income taxes on the wealthy, higher corporation taxes, and a levy on bank transactions. And they're keeping up the pressure. A series of strikes over recent months have hit transport, schools and universities, hospitals and other public services. According to the unions, action plans for next week will again bring millions onto the streets.
The socialists have chosen a program of rising taxes, and we have decided to prolong the number of years worked. And that essentially is the difference between us.
If the opposition wins the next legislative and presidential elections, we will reverse such a bad decision and restore the retirement age to 60.
The retirement reforms are one of the mainstays of President Sarkozy's conservative agenda. However, the government has offered a few concessions, for example, to some categories of manual labourers and to those who started work at a particularly young age. The vote in the lower house or National Assembly passed comfortably, and analysts predict the same will happen in the upper house or Senate later in the autumn. The government recognises, of course, that these reforms are deeply unpopular. Nonetheless, they consider them essential if they're to reduce France's ballooning pensions deficit. Marc Vautier, Presse TV, at the National Assembly in Paris.
U.S. President Barack Obama has criticized the Republicans for the drawn-out debate on extending tax cuts for middle-class Americans.
And if the other party continues to hold these tax cuts hostage, these are the same families who will suffer the most when their taxes go up next year. And if we can't get an agreement with Republicans, that's what will happen. So we don't have time for any more games.
I understand there's an election. Well, the debate over tax cuts has become a central issue in the run-up to midterm congressional elections to be held in November. Obama says the tax cuts should be extended for the middle class, but not for wealthier Americans. The Republicans want tax cuts to be extended for all Americans.
And the Pope is visiting Britain for the first time, and the protest groups have vowed to harass him during his stay. Roshan Mohammed Saleh reports from London.
These men and women say they were abused by Catholic priests, but they claim the church they believed in tried to cover up their ordeals.
Well, I was abused when I was 10 by a priest, a Catholic priest, who was known to my family. It was the day before my confirmation. I had to go to confession to him on the same day. No doubt he absolved me of the sins that he just committed. I was raped by the same man when I was 13.
Ahead of the first papal visit to Britain since 1982, the alleged abuse victims are urging the Catholic Church to come clean about its record.
Wherever there's a church on the planet, there should be instructions given to those churches and those dioceses to hand over the documents they have. Stop shredding the documents, hand them over to civil authorities.
The Pope himself is accused of knowing about sexual abuse scandals and deliberately protecting the abusers rather than the victims, accusations he denies. So his visit to the UK, which will last 4 days, is stoking fierce controversy.
The last time the Pontiff visited Britain, John Paul II was greeted by hundreds of thousands of cheering crowds. But since then, the Catholic Church has been hit by repeated sex abuse scandals, and the current Pope Benedict isn't considered as charismatic as his predecessor. So this time, the crowds are expected to be smaller and the protests bigger.
There are around 5 million Catholics in the UK, which is a predominantly Protestant country. And with rumours that the Pope's open-air masses will be poorly attended, the atmosphere is somewhat subdued.
I think there is a good notion of desire to see the Holy Father. At the same time, yes, the numbers won't be as big as the last time. There are fewer people going to attend some of the celebrations, but there'll still be great celebrations.
Even devout Catholics are expressing reservations about the Pontiff's visit, concerned that the church should adapt to the modern world.
The fact that women aren't allowed, apparently, to use birth control
And that particularly affects women in the developing world. The celibate male clergy is not a healthy idea. And, you know, there's all sorts of things that the church has got in trouble because of such things.
Pope Benedict is due to visit Scotland and England during his visit. He'll meet religious and political leaders, and he'll host open-air masses. But the protesters, whether they be secularists, abuse victims, or reform-minded Catholics, are likely to dog him every step of the way. Roshan Mohammed Saleh, Press TV, London.
Well, that's all for this edition of the World News here on Press TV. Be sure to visit our website, presstv.ir, throughout the day for the latest updates on all the news that we've covered in this broadcast.